All right, let's talk about political hot potatoes and get the take of one David Hertel, who is on the line. Hi, David.
Hi, Elias.
We're playing poker here. I see your enthusiastic response, and I raise you an enthusiastic response. Okay, I like it, David. Let's start off with the budget here. I want to start off with the capital gains changes, okay? I created a bit of a ruckus on Twitter. Never tweet, they say. I tweeted,
yes,
I created a ruckus,
did.
Okay? But by the way, I made no pronouncement. All I did last night on Twitter is I pointed out that in quick succession, both the president and the CEO of Canadian tech behemoth Shopify tweeted last night about the Canada gains, the capital gains changes, okay? They were retweeting someone else's take, pointing out how worse this makes us, how much worse it makes us compared to the U.S. when it comes to investment. And Harley Finkelstein, who's been on this show, has moved to Montreal, by the way. He's living here now. He tweets out, "What are we doing, Canada?" And then the CEO of the company says, "Message from a friend, Canada has heard rumors about innovation and is determined to leave no stone unturned in deterring it." So I'm looking at 500,000 views on this tweet of mine yesterday because it really touched a nerve. What's your take on the capital gains changes?
Well, first of all, Justin Trudeau had to answer the questions that came that have been coming for the past 2 weeks since the rollout of this budget. How are you going to pay for it? So he needed an answer. Two, also, and it's something we had talked about before, he has to be able to say that he's taxing the rich. Justin Trudeau, and this is no surprise for anybody, he is doubling down, going center left, and some will say even further left towards the NDP, because that's the only way he can win in 25 is actually converting a lot of NDP voters to vote Liberal. So when you look at the electoral map in a year and a half, Elias, you have to look at urban and suburban younger voters as being the key for the Liberals to even have a shot at saving their place of running the government. So I think this is a calculated move. I think this is exactly the type of reaction they actually want. They want this type of counter reaction to say, see, we're actually looking out for the middle class. We're going after the rich. And this is actually a page out of Joe Biden's book, by the way.
That's right. And I know that the Democrats have been successful and pushed on that front. But so, David, listen, I want to put it this way. OK, think about old school liberals versus the new school Justin Trudeau liberals. Let's talk about, you know, Paul Martin times. Remember, Paul Martin used to be this country's finance minister. OK,
yeah.
And it seemed to me that, you know, the Paul Martin who eventually became prime minister, the Paul Martin thinking was this. Right. And I'm just going to use round numbers because it's simple. Let's say you make $100,000 a year. OK. 50% goes away in taxes. That's life in Canada. Okay, so now the government has taken away half its taxes. We live with it. We like a progressive taxation system in this country. Okay, now you're down to $50,000. With your $50,000, some people decide to buy cigarettes and drink and do vices. Other people decide.
Stop talking about me, Elias.
You know, but and then other people decide that, hey, I'm going to invest that money. Okay.
Yeah.
So the economist's argument against increasing capital gains taxes. Wait, hold on a second. That money, I already paid my taxes on it. It was part of the $100,000 that you took 50% of, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed like the Paul Martin liberal was, okay, you know what? If you're going to be smart with your money and you're going to invest, you get to benefit from that success. And now the current, you said, you know, center left, maybe left, more left, NDP left. The current liberal is like, oh, no, even if you're smart and you're, with your money, we're going to tax that as well. That's a shift.
It's kind of a shift. But since Paul Martin, over 20 years have passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, I'm just going to give you the counter to what you're saying. I'm not saying you're that this is what you described is a perception of the impact of what the budget announcement did about capital gains. The counter on this is going to be, in the last 20 to 30 years, there's been a fundamental shift towards taxing the rich much less than their fair share.
Uh-huh.
There has, if you look in for the last 50 years, corporations and the richest 1, 5, 10% of us, and this is a European and North American trend, this is not just us, there's been a massive transfer of wealth towards the older generations and the richest of us versus the younger ones that are now, as we now know, 20, 25 years ago, when Jean Chrétien and Paul Martin were in power, young people could think about buying a house. Today, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tax system and the inequality, look, in Canada, we're closing in on having 100 billionaires. We've never seen this type of discrepancy in wealth accumulation mm-hmm. in Canada. So in terms of taxing, you have to see that there's much more of a trend towards the older generations and the richest of us being able to keep most of it, yeah. and the more of the impact of taxation now on the youngest of us. Plus, my final point on this, Elias, somebody like Justin Trudeau will say, well, you know, for the richest of us, that, yeah, capital gains maybe, but at the same time, I'm giving you billions of dollars in innovation funds to help your companies develop and make more. So Shopify guy can actually hope to get a lot of money from the federal government to develop this company.
They're very true that it is interesting what they've done on the innovation front. Someone argue it's still not as generous as other places
sure.
that you could put up shop. Okay, I need to ask you about this, David, because there is one major political development in Quebec mm-hmm. City. So a CAQ MNA has resigned. It's Eric mm-hmm. Lefebvre. He's the MNA for Arthabaska, and he was the party's whip, right? Correct me
yes.
if I'm wrong. So he says, I'm out of the party because I'm going to run for the Conservative Party of Canada and Pierre Poilievre. How much of an earthquake is this right now?
Massive. On the Richter scale, this is a 10, politically speaking, because Éric Lefebvre was not some backbencher. He was the whip, Elias. The whip, I mean, a whip just, I don't know if you know this, but the whip actually sits in during cabinet meetings. He's not a minister. He doesn't have the right to vote. But this is a key player in managing the caucus and a link between the caucus and the government. He was very popular. I knew him when he was a member of the opposition. I've dealt with him, very personable. And what this sends in terms of a message is that, one, you have a very strong, popular member of the CAQ caucus in the region. I mean, Arthabasca, Elias, this is Victoriaville. This is CAC country, Kakistan, in terms of political power bases for the CAQ. And this sends what kind of message? It says, I don't think I'm going to get reelected, or it's going to be quite a climb to be reelected in 26. Two, I have a much better shot with Pierre Poilievre. But also, I mean, this writing, federally, it's Alain Reyes's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Alain
mm-hmm.
Reyes that
yes.
was kicked out of the Conservatives in a very, very cavalier way by Pierre Poilievre? There's going to be an announcement. Pierre Poilievre is going to be in Victoriaville this Saturday. Éric Lefebvre is going to be next to him. This is a huge get for Pierre Poilievre, showing, finally, a real strong Francophone voice. I mean, obviously, Éric Lefebvre is not a huge star, but it's showing that Pierre Poilievre is adding, and he's adding Francophones from deep conservative CAQ country.
Mm-hmm.
Not, it's not Montreal, it's not Quebec City. This is a big gap. But on the other side, it sends a huge message to other CAQ backbenchers that are saying, oh my goodness, if this guy's going, I may be having to look for either another job, or, as a lot of rumors that are flying around, a lot of backbenchers are talking to the federal conservatives.
Well, David,
right now.
David, and I got to be quick on this one, but
yeah.
it seems to me, if you are a federalist within the CAC, now is the time to head to the exits. Do you foresee that we'll see a lot of red CACists head towards the conservatives right now?
Well, I just want to say, in terms of, remember the Mulroney years? We had sovereignists going over to the conservatives.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying, I mean, it's not necessarily just red CACists, but yes, I mean, you're going to have federalist Tories, conservatives from the CEQ talking, and it's already happening. I mean, there's been talk about Éric Girard, there are other players, but definitely right now, it seems like it's an escape hatch right now for a lot of these CEQ backbenchers that are looking at 2026 and looking at the CEQ getting destroyed, and that means they might be looking for another job as well.
From the heart of Soviet Kazakhstan, David Hertel right there. Thanks so much, David.
All right, take care, Alon.